Hi, this is Rob Cartledge, and we are doing a study through the book of Ephesians. You can visit me at www.robcartledge.com.
Okay, let's pray. All right, thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray your anointing now. Let your anointing be upon me to deliver this message, and your anointing be in this room so that everyone can really receive what you want to say today. Holy Spirit, I depend on you to speak through me. Help me to speak the words that you want to be said today, because, Lord, these scriptures need explanation, and we know that the best explanation comes from you, not from what I think, but from what you know. So help me by the Spirit to know this also and deliver this in a way that is clear and right. And so, Lord, I just trust everything to you, and we entrust this whole sermon to you to make it clear to us. We pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. All right, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, and we're going to read from 15 through to 21. So this is in our continuing study of Ephesians, and we haven't got that many sermons to go to complete it. I plan to complete the rest in about three more sermons. Okay, and it says this. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Okay, so I'm just going to do a quick breakdown of that. Verse 15 tells us to walk wisely in this life. We should be wise in the way that we approach this life, and wise in the way we speak and act. We can't just go out there and be foolish, right? We've got to be very careful. Verse 16 tells us to make the most of your life and our opportunities that God gives us. Make the most of them. If there's an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus, make the most of that opportunity. Don't overkill it, but don't underkill it either. You know, we've got to get in there and speak the word in and out of season. Verse 17 says to understand his will. We should understand the will of God. And there's plenty of scriptures. I'm going to be pulling up a few that tells us what the will of God is for us. But there are plenty more as well that tells us the will of God. Verse 18, don't get drunk, rather be filled with the Spirit. So it tells us to be filled with the Spirit and always look to being filled rather than getting into the, you know, the things that we are offered today in this world. Verse 19, speak to each other with holy phrases. That's pretty well what it's saying. It's not like I'm not going to go and sing to you, you know, as in when we're in normal conversation. I don't think they're expecting us to be silly about it. But what they're saying is really use holy phrases. Speak the word of God. Speak to one another using scripture, you know. When we get together, come together and sing together to the Lord, like we do every time we get together as a church. So the Bible tells us that we should involve ourselves in these things. Verse 20, always give thanks to God in everything. And I remember Crystal was explaining the other day that you were just appreciating everything that God's given you in your life. It was just like she had this awakening, wow, I've got this, I've got that. And so many people in the world don't have these things. We got to give thanks to God for everything. There is so many things we can thank God for. And it's such a good way to get out of depression. The moment you start thanking God and thanking him just for the simple things in life, you know, the fact that we can go and make a cup of tea and we can eat a meal and, you know, we can have a shower and get clean and all these wonderful things that God gives us, so often we take it for granted. But we should really be living in thanks. And if we live in thanks, there's a lot less to get depressed about. Because we start acknowledging the good things that are happening, not always just looking at the bad. And we should submit to each other, meaning submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, which we'll go into a bit later as well. Okay, so walk wisely in this life. Ephesians 5:15, and this is the amplified version of that same verse, says, look carefully then, look carefully, meaning we should watch ourselves. We should be watching ourselves, treat ourselves like when we go out and we interact with people and we speak and whatever we look at, we've got to have another set of eyes looking at us, guiding us in that, directing that, directing the way that we do that every day. Do you know what I'm saying? Being careful about how we speak. We should be upon ourselves in that, guarding and protecting our mouth. Right now, the Holy Spirit will give us insight into how to do that, but we've got to be careful that we do that. Amen? Look carefully then how you walk, meaning how you live out your day. Live purposefully. So we've got to live with purpose. We're not just wake up and just go off and do our thing. We've got to know that there's a purpose for us being here on this earth. Let's live with that purpose. Let's walk with purpose, knowing that what is the main purpose? We've got to bring people to Christ. We've got to bring them to know Jesus. We've got to pray for people. We've got to see that God's blessing gets poured out. Because I have been led to believe through years of studying of Scripture that everyone that gets saved is saved because someone's prayed for them. And any good thing that comes upon this planet has come as a result of prayer. So if the saints aren't praying, if the people of God aren't praying, then God's blessings can't be poured out. And it's just like a universal law that God can't go beyond. God will not go over the head of his church. You know what I mean? So if we don't pray, nothing gets done. Amen? So we've got to make sure that the blessings of God is poured out on this earth. So live purposefully and worthily, meaning Jesus died for our sins, right? He saved us. And now that we're saved, we've got to live in a worthy of that, worthy of our Lord. You know, we are his representative. You know, if you were like Cadbury and you hired a representative to go around and put chocolates at the end of the aisles, and then you find out that that representative argues with everyone, walks past, he throws chocolate at people, and, you know, you wouldn't be really happy with that representative, would you? You know, you'd be really happy if you heard that he's polite to everybody and he's, you know, nice and he doesn't give chocolate away, but he just, you know what I mean? He does the right thing by the company and by the people. He would have been a worthy representative. Amen? Mm-hmm. Live worthily and accurately. Be accurate to the Scripture. Know your Bible. Know what it is to live worthily. Know what it is to live accurately. Know what the will of God is. And then he says, not as the unwise and the witless. And witless is really just stupid or foolish people. We aren't to live like that, but we're to live wise. And wise is sensibly. You know, so how many people don't live sensibly today? You know, you go down Rundle Mall on a Saturday night and you see the most witless examples of, you know, humanity you can ever find. You know, intelligently, live intelligently. It's good to be intelligent. Be smart about things. Not to be a show-off or, you know, a smart aleck, you know what I mean? But you've got to be smart. You've got to be intelligent and live by that. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you, and a pagan really is just an unbeliever that has denied Jesus, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds. Though they accuse you of being wrong and evil and whatever else, they can't help but see good deeds coming out of your life. You know what I mean? And it would infuriate them to see those good deeds. But then it says that they will glorify God on the day that he visits us. And what that means is when God comes, when Jesus returns, those same people who were calling you evil, were doing all these, saying all these bad things about you, but even though they could see that there was good deeds coming out of your life, when Jesus returns and the truth is revealed, they'll have to admit, yes, he was a good man after all. That's what it's saying. They might not acknowledge it in this time before Jesus comes, but when he comes, they won't help but acknowledge it. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Be wise. Be very careful how we act. You know, this is a rebuke for me and a rebuke for quite a few of you, I'm sure, that I've got to be careful how I speak to outsiders. I can't just agree and laugh at everything they say. You know, sometimes you have to not comment if they're saying something that's blatantly wrong. You can't just say, yeah, I know what you mean. No, you can't just say that because we're not being wise in the way we're acting. We're approving of their thinking or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Make the most of every opportunity, meaning God will give us opportunities. Who's found that God gives you opportunities here and there to talk to people about Jesus? They come up. They come up, and they will come up all the more. I believe we should pray for more opportunities. Each day wake up and say, Lord, if you will, please send me one soul today that I can talk to about Jesus too. You know, just ask for one soul. You know, John Hyde in India, he went to India and he saw an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit in India. This was back 100 years ago at least, or more. They called him Praying Hyde, but he prayed every day for one soul. He said, give me one soul that I can convert to you fully. And he prayed incessantly for it. They called him Praying Hyde. That was his nickname, because he was, every time people found him in private, he was always on his knees. You know. Anyway, he started to get one soul a day. Then not long after that, after he got established in that and he could see, yes, God keeps giving me one soul a day, he started to pray for two. And then eventually started praying for four. So as a result, his church grew rapidly. He started to see an incredible revival of Christianity. Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now that you're a Christian, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. We have an incredible gospel in our Bible, don't we? It's an incredible gospel. It's the most beautiful moral code ever written, most perfect moral code ever produced, you know, better than anything that Buddha come up with or any other, you know, person who claimed to be someone. Jesus' moral code was far surpassing of all of that. There were similarities, because people are going to go online and say, hey, you know, Buddha was saying, you know, these things way before Jesus or whatever. No, Jesus encapsulated the fullness of a moral code which no one had ever surpassed before or after. But we've got to live alive and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of that and worthy of all of those wonderful letters that Paul wrote and Peter and James, etc. Live holy and godly lives. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Mm-hmm. Who's content with what you have? Put up your hand if you're content. Yeah, most of us here. I'm content, right? But how many people aren't? Want more, you know? You know, if you make a $1,500 a week, you want to make $2,000 a week. You make $2,000 a week, you want to make $3,000. You make $3,000 a week, you want to make $5,000, and just never ending. And it's all because of this love for riches and love for wealth. We've got to keep ourselves from this and be content with what we have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, if that's true, if God will never leave you and he will never forsake you, we have more in that, just in that statement, than all the riches in the world. Don't you think? Joe Schimmel came up with in relation to where we consider our riches. You know, if a man went to an island and he was told, on that island you're going to find, you know, multiple millions of dollars worth of treasure, and you went to that island, you found the treasure, but only to discover that within 2 months of that you would die of a disease that you contracted on that island in finding that treasure, which is pretty well symbolic of living for treasure here. You know, if you live for treasure here and that's all you focus your energy on, you're going to contract something in pursuing that that's going to leave you dead for eternity. So which is greater? The treasures of the kingdom of heaven where rust and moth will not destroy? You know, if we go after God, God will make sure he provides for us adequately in this life, but the treasures we're going to have in the next life are going to far exceed the treasures in this life. And hunting the treasures of this life are only going to leave us dead and destitute in the next life. So we've got to make a decision. Where are we going to put our energies? And so he said he'll never leave us and forsake us. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? 2 Peter 3:10-12 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. All of a sudden, Jesus is going to just be here. You know, when he's not here, it's like it's never going to happen, isn't it? But when he suddenly appears, we're going to go, he's here, it's happened. And it's like, wow, Jesus has returned. Actually, he's going to return and he's going to spend 1,000 years here. And at the end of that 1,000 years, it says that many will still rise up against him. You know, I've always wondered, it's really difficult to lead people to Jesus here, isn't it, on earth? It's very hard sometimes to get Jesus into people's lives. Very hard. It's one of the most difficult things you could possibly attempt to do. But isn't it amazing that even with Jesus alive and well on the planet, proving himself to be God, he's here, he's living among us, there's still after 1,000 years, they're going to have the peace they always wanted. Jesus is going to supply them with everlasting peace, 1,000 years of it. And at the end of the 1,000 years, it says that they will still rise up, that many that will be like sand on the seashore will rise up, that many people. How many grains of sand on the seashore of the world? You can't count it, right? Now, that's how many people are going to rise up against Jesus at the end of that 1,000 years. They're going to come against the city that he loves, and then fire's going to come from heaven and destroy them. Because with Jesus here, people are still going to turn their backs on Jesus.
Well, it's happened in history on a larger scale in heaven, because that's exactly what happened in heaven.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the angels were in the presence of God, and they fell. A third of the angels fell from heaven. Yeah, very good. So,
strong delusion.
Yes, a very strong delusion. That's going to, and it's always been here. And so, if you're finding it hard now, and that's why, because even with Jesus here, it's going to be even difficult to keep people's souls saved. You know, but it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare, since everything will be destroyed in this way. So this earth is going to be laid bare. The Bible tells us God's going to start again. He's going to wipe out this earth as it is, and then everything's going to be new. He's going to have a new creation, like as in the matter of the earth is going to be recreated. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, so everything that we put our hope in here is going to be gone, what kind of people ought you to be? And then he tells us, you ought to live holy and godly lives. You ought to live holy and godly lives. We've got to set our eyes on eternal things, the things that are going to last forever. Because if we set our eyes on earthly things, these things are going to be destroyed. One day, all our homes and all our things down here are going to be wiped out, burned up, destroyed. Hopefully, God might see some value in some of the Christian things that we've got, like maybe, you know, some of the books I've written or something. Hopefully, we'll get lifted up and taken up there, or at least part of them. He'll have a good proofreader up there that will wipe out get all the rob out of the books. But what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And speed its coming. It's telling us, speed its coming. How do we speed the coming of the Lord Jesus? By prayer. We pray, Lord, come. You know, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer, isn't it? May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the Lord's prayer. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. Wow. So don't rest in this place because it's not going to be here forever. You know, so set your eyes on eternal things where Jesus says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's where our hope has got to rest. Amen. All right, Ephesians 5:16, making the very most of the time. This is the Amplified. Buying up each opportunity. I like that, buying up each opportunity. When you see an opportunity and someone's saying, oh, you're a Christian, wow, you know, What do you believe? You know, when people say that, buy up that opportunity, take a hold of it, grasp it. You know, don't overkill it. When I say that, don't bash them to the point where they're going, gee, I'm glad I brought that up, you know, and walk away. You want to make sure that you get some word from God into their life. Because remember, the word of God converts them, not you. The Holy Spirit converts them, not you. What we got to do is be obedient to the opportunity and buy up every opportunity. Amen? Mm-hmm. Because the days are evil. Why? Because the days are evil. We live in evil days. It's evident. Watch a few movies in a row and you'll see evil. Go down the street, walk down Hindley Street at you know, 4 in the morning on a Saturday or Sunday morning. You will see evil. Everywhere you go, there's evidence of evil. Watch the news. One night's worth of news and you will realize the world is evil. There's a lot of bad things going on. So buy up each opportunity. Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. He says it again there. And 1 John 5:18-20 says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. If you're born of God, you will not continue to sin. It doesn't mean you don't sin. What it means is you don't continue to live in sin. If you're, you know, really, really, you know, taken with drugs, you don't continue to take drugs. The moment you are truly born again, you stop taking drugs. So if you're still taking drugs and you're still, you know, living this wild life, you're living in sin. And that is what a born-again Christian, a true person who's turned to the Lord, does not continue to do. We know that anyone who is born of God does not continue sin. The one who is begotten of God, who was begotten of God, who was begotten of God? Jesus, he was the Son of God. We're born into God like through adoption, through the cross that Jesus opened the way for us to get to God. And that's why we can be called sons of God with a little s. But the Son of God with a capital S is Jesus Christ. And the one who was begotten of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know when he says cannot harm him, they might be able to touch you physically. Jesus might allow us to go through some sort of a trial, but he will keep us safe eternally. We will never lose our salvation as long as you hold to that confession of faith and you live for him with all your being. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Right? The Bible tells us the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So we live in the evil one's domain. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God and he is eternal life in self. He's embodied, he's eternal life embodied. Meaning if we want eternal life, we've got to go into him. We've got to be in Christ, the person. Wow. Now, that's another sermon. Again, how do you get into Christ? Well, you just give your whole life over to him. I must become less. He must become more. He must shine through me more. I must shine less. You know, less of Rob, more of Jesus. And the more of that I can manifest in myself through deciding daily to live like that. You've got to decide every day. Wake up in the morning. Yep, I'm going to live for Christ today. I'm going to walk in Christ today. Amen. The will of the Lord. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7. It is God's will. Here we go. This is going to tell us what God's will is. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. What's sanctified mean? Cleansed. Cleansed, set apart. You're sanctified through the forgiveness of the blood, and because of that you're a new creature in Christ. Yeah. You're born again in him and you're a new person. That you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honourable, meaning your own body is, because you take your body wherever you go, don't you? So you've got to control your body. You've got to be very controlled in the way you live. Not in passionate lust like the pagans. Don't get involved in that stuff. Don't follow suit with the way what the world, you know, makes trendy today, which is sinful practices. They make it trendy to involve themselves in sinful practices. We've got to not involve ourselves in the passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. So remember, he's warning us. He's warning the Thessalonians, which is in a sense warning us because we're reading from the book of Thessalonians, that the Lord will punish all those who commit such sins. As we told you and warned you, Paul lets loose a lot of warnings in Scripture. Don't live like this. For God did not call us to be impure. And this is the thing. Many Christians today just live like pagans. And they think they're saved because they can still live like pagans. They feel safe in their sin. But the Bible tells us that God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Amen? I'm not saying this, am I? The Bible is. I'm just reiterating it to you. I'm just pointing it out. Don't get drunk. Ephesians 5:18, it says, and do not get drunk with wine or other fermented drinks, for that is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. We are to look to be stimulated and filled with the Holy Spirit, not to be drunk. Proverbs 21 says, wine, or 20 verse 1, wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. So don't become alcoholics if you are planning to. 1 Peter 4:3, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. You know, I spent years doing that pagan stuff. It's time to put that stuff behind me and not do it anymore. Living in debauchery, lust and drunkenness, orgies, carousing and detestable idolatry. If you're a Christian and you're getting involved in this stuff, you've got to question your Christianity. It's got to be changed. You know, you can't live like that. You spent enough time in the past doing that. Now it's time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't take the Lord Jesus Christ into those situations. Be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, because it says, but ever be filled with the Spirit, not being drunk. Galatians 5:16 and also verse 25 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If you're keeping in step with the Spirit, what that means is if you're in an army and you're walking along in, you know, marching in an army, and you lose step, you stuff the whole thing up, don't you? You know, you're trying to catch up and everyone else is getting ahead of you and you lose step. But if you're in step with them, you march with them in on cue and you can stay with the pack. Everything goes well. And that is the same with the Spirit. The Spirit is moving in a certain way. You've got to move with the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. Romans 8:1, a famous scripture that has... people have deceived many people by, because they only read the first half. But it says, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh, there is condemnation in Christ Jesus. It's clear in Scripture. It's all through Scripture. But if you walk after the Spirit, there is no condemnation. So what does it mean to be a Christian? A true Christian is filled with the Spirit and walks by the Spirit and keeps in step with the Spirit. Someone who just has a profession but isn't a Christian is those that aren't concerned at all with what the Spirit's doing. They're just concerned with their own fleshly desires, the lusts of the flesh. That's all they want to get involved in. They're concerned with living for self all the time. They're not concerned with living for God. And that's really what God's going to do on Judgment Day. He's going to divide them, not by, yes, I said I was a Christian all my life and lived completely contrary, because that's called hypocrites. Hypocrites live like that. And there's a lot of hypocrites that say one thing and do another. Jesus can see through that facade. Don't think that this once saved, always saved stuff is true, because it's not. It doesn't say it in Scripture. I'm yet to find a Scripture that points that out. It's clear as crystal. If you don't do what the Spirit calls you to do, and yet you claim to, you're a hypocrite. Hypocrites are going to be thrown into the eternal fire. It says it clearly in Scripture. But if you live according to the Spirit, you will see life and live a life, and life will be abundant in you in eternity. Amen? Does that make sense? I see it clearly. I don't know how you can get it all confused theologically, and so many do. Worship Him. Ephesians 5:19 says, speak out to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. Wow, I'm nearly finished, guys. I'm going to have to move through it because we have to finish in just over 5 minutes. You reckon I can do it? I can do it.
The Spirit is willing.
Yes, the Spirit is willing. Now I don't know what to say. Speak to no... Okay. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. It says speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Speak. It doesn't say sing to one another. It says speak to one another. See, there are spiritual songs that you can use to speak, you know, a verse. I've heard many ministers speak a verse that they've, you know, that they've heard from some famous hymn or something. Do you know what I mean? So it says speak. So you don't have to go and sing to one another. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? Hello, Chantel. It's lovely to see you. God bless you today. You know, imagine if she came in. It's like, okay, this guy's weird. You know, you don't do that. You speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, meaning when we worship the Lord, which is also what we do, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. And what that's like is when you're driving along, you're just singing, you just make up a song to the Lord and sing it. I do that all the time. Vina does, and I've heard Bill does. So if you feel a song rising in your spirit while you're driving along and, you know, no one's with you in the car, so you're not, you know, embarrassing them by doing it, just sing to the Lord, you know, and it happens. You know, the Lord will naturally do that through you. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms. So teach the psalms, teach the hymns, the good hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God. See, always singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Amen. give thanks. Ephesians 5:20, at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances. So always find opportunity to thank God no matter what you're going through in life. No matter what is happening, find things to thank God about. And if it's a trial, say, thank you for this trial, Lord. Help me to get stronger in you through it. Even though it's really hurting me, help me to find the reason behind it, because I want to grow out of this. You know? Learn to give thanks in all circumstances. Submit to each other. Ephesians 5:21, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. We've got to be subject to each other. Submit to each other in their needs, in their teaching. Galatians 5:13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. So we're free, but we're not free to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. We've got to serve each other. And Nick, the other day, Nick served us. He took our trailer and he did some work on our trailer, welded it and everything, and he just did it freely and did a beautiful job, you know. And so if you ever want to do things for me, I'm open for you.
Or get Nick to do things
for me. Or get Nick to do more things for me. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves. Value others above yourselves. And that's an interesting one. How often people, especially in Australia, we're known to, you know, put each other down. We'd rather make people feel less about themselves than lift them up. Do you know what I mean? We do the opposite of encouragement, decouragement. You know, we decourage people. Discourage. I like decourage. Anyway, discourage. Yeah, but in humility, value others above yourselves. We have to learn to encourage one another and build each other up and help them. And sometimes I can get advice from someone who's not walking in Christ at the level I'm walking at, who can give me a tip and can really help me to go higher. Do you know what I mean? Okay, so as we study the Bible verse by verse without overlooking Scripture, we are repeatedly exhorted and even warned to live holy and godly lives and to not walk in the ways of this world. Repeatedly. Who's listened to a few of my sermons over the years? Yeah? Am I constantly on about it? I seem to be, you know, depending on the sermon I'm preaching. It's not because I choose to be on about that. It's just that the Scriptures are on about that all the time, and if I don't preach what the Scriptures say, then I'm preaching a man-made doctrine, which is my own thing, and I don't want to just find Scriptures that suit, you know, what I want to say. I want to preach what the Bible says, and the Bible is always on about it. If you go through verse by verse, as I just said before, I don't plan to always be teaching on this theme, but it seems that no matter which way I turn in Scripture, God seems to highlight these most critical verses all the time. So I believe that due to the fact that so many Christians live ungodly and unholy lives today, as well obviously as they were living back in the day when these letters were written, this message is what he wants emphasized at this time, and he wanted it emphasized back then, that we must no longer live as the pagans do, but we must live holy and godly lives. And all the more as we see the day approaching, as Jesus is going to return, we've got to all the more keep living for him and living pure, holy, godly lives. You know, walk in the Spirit. We've got to decide every single day to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Hope you received all that. Now let's pray just to finish. Lord, I thank you for this message today, and I thank you that I was able to get it out just about on time. And I pray, Lord, that you will help all of us to take something home today, and that we would have all received something and grown as a result of this message. And I pray that it will really penetrate our hearts. And, Lord, that we will be able to live those holy and godly lives. We're not perfect, Lord, and none of us claim to be perfect, but we're going to aim to live as close to you as possible. And I know if we can live in the Spirit 24/7, Lord, that we will be holy and we will live without sin. But, Lord, it's the challenge is to always make that decision and live in the Spirit all the time. And, Lord, help us all the more and grow us and strengthen us as Christians to keep on pursuing that level of perfection in you. And I know that, Lord, if we keep going for it, eventually we'll always get closer, at least, and we'll live more and more godly as we keep attempting to. And so we ask you to help us in this week, help us to have a wonderful week and bring people to know you, and just give us opportunities to talk to people, and that we'd make most of those opportunities. And that also, Lord, that we will do everything out of love, that we'll learn to love all those that love us, and also those that don't love us, Lord. Help us to love those as well. Mm-hmm. And also the unlovable. There's many out there that are unlovable. Help us to love them as well with a Christly love, a love that only we can only receive from you. And we just pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. Thanks for listening to this sermon. If you search Rob Cartledge in the iTunes store or go to www.robcartledge.com, you'll see a number of different sermon series: Uncovering Religion, Truth, Judgment and Eternity, Apologetics 101, Critical Doctrine and End Times. Feel free to check them out.